Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 6th month, the 11th day of the year 2023, and it's the second Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice therein.
All right, now, we'll wait, a couple of minutes to see if Andrew gets online, but I want to bring, Matthew is brought up a situation which I think a lot of people are going to find themselves in. And so he's living with the basically pagans, you know, like Mateus and Irina, and sometimes it becomes unbearable. A lot of times. Most times, you know, unfortunately. So, you know, he's got a job, but, you know, he's not making a lot of money. So he said in England, it's difficult. He can't move out and get his own place and has enough money for that. But solutions we have, okay? So we're here to help anybody that we could. He's an acquirer now, but he seems to be of goodwill. And my thing with that is, and we can work on different solutions. He's very close to Ireland. Like TJ said, it's like a whatever it costs to do a bus ride, he can fly over to Ireland. It's not expensive. So you can get him over to Ireland. Now, over to the UK part of Ireland, where they are, is that Donegal? Or what do they call it? Is that the UK part where Declan is? Where's Declan? What's the name?
Who's Declan?
County Derry, which is in the UK, yeah.
Yeah, so he's in the UK, so he's going to have no problem visiting or moving. Maybe what he could even do is visit first, see how he gets along with them. And it's always good to visit first and stay for about 2 weeks or so, a kind of considerable period of time, and stay with them and see how it works out. And maybe Declan can get him a job, because Declan is a manager of all these. What is Declan? He's a manager of what? Food stores?
Yeah, basically like a Walmart, a small Walmart basically, but they're pretty big, a very common company around the country. So even if he doesn't get one in Donegal where he's working, maybe somewhere down south, or I'm sure you can give him a reference.
Right, right. So there's that potential, right? And I would say even, let's say, when we got situations like with Mateus even, I told him what's going on there. He's got a job, and I'm sure he's not making a lot of money. But eventually, he's going to want to move out, and we'll help him. Even Matthew, if he had to get his own place, we can help him with the down payment for rent and maybe furniture. And then, but you, if you're working, you want at least one-third of your income to pay for rent. Now, if he goes over to the UK, he can maybe live with Declan. You can work out some of an arrangement there where, or TJ said in his place or whatever, where it will be, he can afford it because he's living, you can share. See, sharing with somebody is a big deal. You save a lot of money. When Ron was over here and we shared, we're hardly paying anything anyway. So, I mean, it's so inexpensive to live in TRC. You want to talk about inexpensive places to live? We're in one of the most inexpensive places in the world, I think, to live in TRC here. So there's options for Matthew on that deal, because it could become unbearable, you know. You got to listen to this. It's rough. Mm-hmm. It's hard. And I think from speaking to him, even though he doesn't even have his own desk, so he doesn't have a lot of room or anything. But these are penances that he'll undergo, offered up to God. God will give him grace. Like we said before, you had pagans, Catholics living with pagans, like Nero's household and stuff, and they had to keep their faith secret. They can never deny it, but you don't have to profess it all the time. You can even keep it secret, but you can never deny it. Those are two different things. I go over that a lot of times, and watch the movie St. Barbara. So they had to put, that's a lot of penance. And there's pressures that go on you from your non-Catholic family member, like Irina, even in Mateos. There's that pressure. You're not around. It's so much better to be around good Catholics. It's a whole other world. But God will give you a grace to endure it where you are for now, but you always got to be thinking of ways to get out. We can help Irina get out too. She's not far from Ireland either. I mean, how far is Belgium from Ireland? Isn't that also like just across the lake, as they say? Am I right on that? Am I right or am I wrong, Chuck? Come on.
It's the same thing, really, than England. It's very cheap, very cheap.
Mm-hmm. So she can even visit over there. We could arrange something. If that worst comes to worst, you know. Nikolai maybe could help her too, you know, mm-hmm. and get her a place in Ireland. She flies over. So there's a lot of things. Or there's other options too. But now Mateus too, he's so far his parents don't bother him too much, but as I recall, the last time she was taking his rosaries away, I think. Am I right, Mateos? Was she taking your rosaries or something at one point? You're on now, I
okay.
think.
Yeah, answering the question, yeah, she took my rosary and my holy water, I don't know how, and I threw it away. I think he threw it away. I didn't find any trash, but yeah, I don't have hope of getting again.
Oh, see? Now, hey, Mateos, be careful with that crucifix. I helped him when he was looking for it.
Uh-huh.
That is a beautiful one. It really is. And he wants it, the suffering, the blood, and all that. It is absolutely beautiful. And it took him a long time to get. Now, I'm worried. His mother's going to take that down. You know what she did with his rosary, too? She didn't throw it in the garbage so he can pick it out again. She went outside to the neighbor's house and threw it in their garbage so he can never get it. I mean, this is what's going on. I hope she don't take the crucifix. But the track record's not good.
No.
Go ahead.
If they touch the crucifix, I think I don't even can look at their face anymore.
No, that's right. Then we're ready to get you set up in an apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's why start looking now even, really. Yeah. Let me give advice to Mateos and start looking for a place and look at prices. Let me know what the prices are. Let me know how much money you make a month. Like I told you, we can set you up for the down payments, because usually that's the hardest part. You got to pay 2 or 3 months rent ahead of time, just in case you mess the place up and you don't give it back until a year or something like that. And then also you need furniture, so we can supply all of that. The main thing is I want to find out how much you're making, how much you can afford, and what prices are. Start getting ready, start looking for that. Mm-hmm. God could start guiding you to that. And I think if you start doing good at your job, God could eventually move you up to some managerial position, and you start getting some raises.
Who's all right.
Good. Is Andrea online yet? We were waiting a little bit for her.
Yes, she is.
Okay. Yep. So Andrea must have just came online.
Yep. And Anna came on.
Anna's online too also.
And Gustavo.
He's been online.
Gustavo. Yeah, Gustavo was here, yeah.
He's been online.
And Andrea.
All right. Now we're going to do the announcements. We're going to go right into the mass prayers. And my lecture today is going to be on a routine, your daily routine. How important it is to have a daily routine. That's going to be my lecture. It's extremely important. I've gone over it before, but not as in detail as I want to go over it now. And so that's going to be the lecture. Now, also, I told everybody I'm going to bless your sacramentals. Now, even though it's not official, I mean, they tell you, it's over the internet, I'm still going to bless them, okay? Mm-hmm. We got no priest, so I'm not a priest. But I'm still going to give it a blessing. God will honor it, and he's going to bless your sacramentals. Mm-hmm. The other thing they were saying, too, it's a crazy thing, but I don't want to get into theology on that. I'll be here forever. It's a long theological thing about, they said you can't hear confessions over the telephone and you have to be one-on-one. Well, my question is, if that's the only thing you have is a telephone, and it's the only way you can contact the Catholic priest, then why not? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stupid things they did, okay? Almost maybe like you're not allowed to give lectures over the online. It's crazy. Why not? I mean, if I can counseling people, if they can't, you can't meet them in purpose online or in person, online or even over the internet. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. That's stuff I don't want to get into. I studied this area. It's kind of goofy. I understand if you're not sure it's the person who's on the other line. Well, if it's the wrong person, then the absolution ain't going to do nothing, okay? All right? So look, it's the same thing if you go to, see, I'm theology a little bit, but if you go to confession and you're not sincere, the priest can give you absolution, absolvete, and you're not absolved because you have to have three things. You've got to be sorry, a firm purpose of amendment, and you got to be willing to do the penance the priest gives you. So if you're not sorrowful, and you're not really sorry, and you don't have a firm purpose of amendment, the priest doesn't know that because you're lying to him. He gives you the absolution. You walk out of it, your sins aren't remitted until you come up with that firm purpose of amendment and the sorrow. So in person, on the telephone, it's all the same thing. Sometimes they say fraud. Maybe someone's on a phone line who's not who they are. Well, then that's their problem, not the priest's problem. Long story. I don't want to get into it. And that's why, even though I'm not a priest, I'm going to give you a blessing to bless these sacraments because God's going to honor it. Amen. I can't confect the sacraments, but we still, and then when we do say the full mass prayers, I will tell, I'm not a priest, but on the very special holy days, we pray the full mass prayers from the Roman Missal so we can remember how holy and beautiful our mass is. That's it. I don't consecrate because I'm not a priest. I can't absolve you because I'm not a priest, but God absolves you when there's no priest. That's a dogma because you have people without Catholic priests in Japan for 200 years. In France, you had people for 100 years under the French Revolutionary Church where they had no access to Catholic priests. You think God's going to punish you because you're upholding the dogma that you refuse to go to, in France, you refuse to go to schismatics, to confession, which is a heresy. And it's, you can't go to them. It's not gonna, nothing's going to happen anyway. You're not only are you going to walk out of there not absolved, you just committed heresy.
Yep.
And they knew that. They says, I'm not going to go to no non-Catholic priest for confession no matter what. It's against my faith. So what? If you confess your sins to God, don't you think he's not going to remit them? He certainly will. Okay? And so, that's I got dogmas on that too about, I go over that in my book. I don't want, I wasn't going to talk about this, but it came up on the confession thing. So maybe it'll be of interest to some people, right? So when we do get a Catholic priest sometime in the future, then we begin to confess our sins from that point forward to him. We're not denying the dogma that you need to go to a Catholic priest to get absolved. We uphold that dogma. But when there is no Catholic priest, and that's happened in the history of the church several times, God doesn't leave you in damnation because you're upholding the faith and because you're not willing to go to a non-Catholic priest because you know it's against the faith. That's right. And in Japan, they didn't even have a priest. So it wasn't, you couldn't even go to anybody. It wasn't even an option. I'm not getting to the stupid. The Diamond Brothers are so bad. They're worse. I mean, it gets worse every day. I can't. I don't want to post this up because we're talking politics. We have a real big thing with politics going on this week. Not this week, for this month. It's big. The iron is hot, and we're going to hit it. And we're going to take these bastards down. But anyway, the Diamond Brothers still say you can go to confession to anybody as long as it's a valid priest. And you can receive communion if he's valid, but not at Mass. You got to receive it outside of Mass. You got to knock on his door during the week and ask him to give you a communion. They're idiots. What about St. Hermenegild? Hermenegild died because he would not receive communion in prison from a schismatic priest. Outside of Mass, and he said, no, this is sacrilege. Sin against the faith. St. Hermenegild and his schismatic father killed him because of it. He's a martyr. You got to read what they say. It's crazy. You got to be like a... It's like your head spins. They give you, if he's got to be like that, if he was validly ordained before this, but if he did preach a heresy in a pulpit, but he holds a heresy and he doesn't impose on you, oh, but you could go to his Mass as long as he doesn't preach a sermon, because if he preaches a sermon, he might preach a heresy and you're going to have to hear it. It's the craziest, stupidest stuff I've ever heard that came out of her mouth. I mean, and he's got like a whole page. This one guy's goofing on him because the guy's telling him, he said, this is crazy. And I didn't know. I don't look at this site anymore. I haven't looked at it in years. But sometimes you go across people talking about it. I went, what is this about? Oh, let me see what their current position is on the sacraments. Because before they said you can go to Mass even. But you can only go to like for the consecration to receive. And then you got to walk out the back after you're done. But now they're saying you can go to confession to anybody. Oh. As long as he's valid in us, and even admits, he goes, well, now I know people said I don't know have theology in the petition. We've never been here before, so I mean, I'm not going to have any theology to back it up. Well, I got theology to back up what you're doing. Going back to the birth of the church. Catholics are forbidden to be in religious communion with non-Catholics, end of discussion. And that means receiving sacraments from non-Catholic priests. Simple. It ain't hard. It's a dogma. It goes back to the beginning of the church. I got all the quotes. You guys are denying it. Unbelievable. Stubborn, pride-filled bastards. So he's still holding on to this kind of wacky kind of a thing. And the idea that, oh, well, then if the priest is a heretic and he preaches it from the pulpit, you can't go to his Mass to receive, but you can receive during the week outside of Mass. First of all, you know, it's kind of... I mean,
I know.
And he's got this whole thing about the CMRI, the SSP-10, and of course them, and they don't do this. And it's like you gotta be a brain surgeon. You're reading this thing and you're going like, what? It's real simple. If he's a non-Catholic priest, no go, pal! How many times do we bring up with that bastard? And the worst part is when he would just show up right before the consecration and he would walk out of the church right after it, and then he would go to confession after he received. After he received. I think it's supposed to be the other way around, you know what I mean? You go to confession first, then you receive. The guy's an idiot. An absolute dope.
Yeah.
And I told you, even when he thought we had a good Catholic priest, which he never did, Father Clifford in Most Holy Family Monastery, and I was the altar boy. I loved the Holy Mass. I love it so much. I was an altar boy, and I love it. I still love it. And so I was his altar boy, and Diamondhead, what's his name? Michael Diamondhead? Bob? Or is he Bob? No, he's
Fred.
Not Bob.
Fred.
He's Fred.
Yeah, he's Fred. Yeah.
But anyway, he'd be sleeping. And he'd have me wake him up right before a Holy Eucharist. He would come in and receive, then he would go back to sleep. Right after. This is when he believed Father Clifford was Catholic. Please. He didn't attend the Mass. It's sacrilege. I'm wondering what he did in there. Did he take the host out and step on it? Or is he an infiltrator? It was crazy. But finally, Father Clifford had. He said, that's it, no more. He stopped him. He said, no, I can't do this no more. You have to attend the Mass. Yeah. He went nuts. Yeah. He went crazy. That's when Father Clifford was gone. I said, you know, I would agree with Father Clifford on a lot of stuff, and he's a heretic. I said, but you're wrong on this. He's right. He's right. I mean, this kid's a nut. Anyway, the stuff he wrote, you got to really define essence thing. Oh, God, what an idiot. He's an Arian heretic. You got to look at the evidence I have, and either if you have a brain and a heart, first if you have a heart, everyone has a brain, okay, unless you're retarded, but if you have a heart, then your brain's going to kick in gear, and you're going to look at all of this stuff. The hypocrisy stinks to the high heavens.
If he didn't get the essence, what did he get?
I'll talk about this, and we got a lot of things to talk about. This is crazy. And we got into that before. So the dogma is that the Father's divine essence begot the Son. The Son is born of the Father. He's born of the divine essence of the Father. Truly born. But he was always born. He is always born, so he always existed. Don't try to figure it out, folks. That's the one that's above human understanding, angelic understanding. Only God can understand it. Only God can understand his own infinity. Only God, because he's God. There's certain things none of us creatures can ever understand, because he's God. It's the same thing. How could God always exist? How could Jesus have been born and always existed? He is. He was born, truly born, and always existed. Was not made and was not created. Born from the divine essence of the Father. And the Father's essence is only his divine essence. He's simple. He's not compound. He's not made up of several things. He's made up of one thing. The divine essence. There's nothing else in the Father but the divine essence. So what does he have to give to the Son? The Diamond Brothers said that he gave him the person. He begot the person. Yeah, he begot the person without the divine essence. The Father's very person is the divine essence. Now, this is crazy because Bruno wrote him and says, I'm not with you no more. I'm with that brandy. You're crazy. Get out of here. And he wrote Bruno back. Well, you're going, that guy's evil. He's a cult. He's a cult leader. He's a maniac, you know. All the character assassination crap, right? And he thinks there's three persons, three gods instead of one, because he believes the divine essence begot and was begotten and proceeds. That's a basic dogma going back to, like, read the councils. I mean, I got the end. And you know why he's doing that? Because in the 1215 Fourth Lateran Council teaches that heresy. Yeah. Lombard Aquinas teaches that heresy. Pope, he don't want to go back that far. That's why he's doing it. Because if he goes back that far, he's got to say like us, hey, this thing's been going on for a long time. Ain't nothing new.
That and is born of the substance, the divine essence of the Father, God of God, light
and they're
of
denying
true
it.
God of true God, born, not made, of one substance with the Father. And Pope St. Damasus I of the Council of Rome in 382 says, if anyone does not say that the Son was begotten of the Father, that is, of the divine substance of him himself, he is a heretic. And the Athanasian Creed from the 4th century says, accordingly, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man. He is God, eternally begotten of the substance, the divine essence of the Father, and he is man, born of the substance of his mother in time. Now we read from the apostate anti-pope, Innocent III in 1215, which he taught in the fourth, invalid and heretical Fourth Lateran Council, for there's a certain supreme reality, which is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This reality neither begets, nor is begotten, nor proceeds. The Father begets, the Son is begotten, and the Holy Spirit proceeds. I will now read from the Church Fathers, and then on the left, and then the apostate scholastic theologians, so quotes on the right. St. Hilary of Poitiers, on the Trinity in the 4th century, says, He, God the Father, begot the only begotten from his own unbegotten substance, divine essence, bestowing through love and power his whole divinity upon that birth. St. Athanasius, in his defense of the Nicene definition, in 351, says, The Word is an offspring from the substance of the Father. The Son is from the essence of the Father. And of this account did the Holy Council of Nicaea declare expressly that he was of the essence of the Father. St. Ambrose on the Christian faith in the 4th century says, The Son is begotten of the substance of the Father. St. Augustine and Alpius in letter 170 to Maximus in circa 428 say, God the Father begot the Son of his own substance, divine essence. St. Augustine, in his book on the Trinity in the 5th century, says, God the Father, has begotten his own essence in his Son. And St. Fulgentius of Ruspe, in his letter to Peter on the faith in the 6th century, says, therefore, believe that Christ, the Son of God, one of the persons of the Trinity, is true God, so that you do not doubt that his divinity has been born of the nature of the divine essence of the Father. Now we're going to read the heresies are taught by the apostate scholastic theologians, starting with apostate Peter Lombard in his sentences in 1150. Neither did the Father beget a divine essence, nor did a divine essence beget a Son, nor did a divine essence beget a divine essence. Thus also must not be said that the divine essence begot the Son. And the apostate Thomas Aquinas, in his Expositio Super Secundum Decretalem in the 13th century, says, if therefore the divine essence begets or proceeds, it follows that just as the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is yet another, so too would their own essence or substance be still yet another divine essence. He's thinking that would mean that there's three gods. Then we read apostate Thomas Aquinas in his Summa in the 13th century says, I answer that concerning this, the Abbot Joachim erred in asserting that as we can say God begot God, so we can say essence begot essence. And the apostate Thomas Aquinas in his Summa in the 13th century says, so the divine nature of the Son is not begotten either directly or accidentally. This heresy we're talking about was hidden. Most of your, even your bastard priests out there, tell you believe Jesus is begotten of the substance of the Father. They do believe that dogma. Even the dopey nominals.
Martin Luther's
dead, which we didn't know. TJ brought this out. Martin Luther came out and he said, these bastards, these guys are actually teaching that the divine essence doesn't proceed and is not begotten. Well, then how was the Son born? How did he get his divine essence? So Luther was right about it. You know, they scandalized so many people. That's why the Protestant movement was so successful. They weren't wrong on a lot of stuff. They went too far, yes, on other issues. But these nominal Catholics were bad, too. And they saw no corrections being made. Now, like he's saying, we say that Anthony Secure is going to say in our creed, born of the substance of the Father. Born of the substance of the Father. Born of the divine essence of the Father. It's in the Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, Nicene Constantinople Creed. Born of the divine essence of the Father. And even though he's born of the divine essence of the Father, there's no two divine essences, it's just one. There's no two gods but one. God of God, light of light. God of God, but not two gods. Divine essence, the divine essence, but not two divine essences. And they kept saying, well, if he begot the divine essence, we have two gods. That's what the Arians believed. That's why they couldn't believe that the three divine persons were all God. They only believed that God the Father was God and Jesus was a creature. He either was made by God out of nothing, or he's created as some other system material. So they're holding the Arian heresy. Now, here's the thing. And maybe this would be the lecture God wants me to give today for some reason. I prepare one thing, I do another thing. Because I'm going to write it. I'm going to update on this. I'm going to just show you how stupid it is. So the question we ask people like the Diamond Brothers is, do you believe in the dogma that Jesus Christ, the God of Son, even before his incarnation, before he came down as a man, even up, I said, do you believe that he has a divine essence?
I will be going over this in detail in my upcoming book, Update Against the Apostles.
How did he get it?
Brothers,
and who did he get it from?
All their text messages.
Who did he get it from?
Responses
and how did he get it?
Evidence against them.
Basic
on
questions.
Other issues.
Why told Bruno to ask him that?
In which
and
they,
the answer they gave.
The heresy that the divine essence does not begate, is not begotten, and does not proceed. I will just give some few quotes from that particular update. I have it in my other books against them also. But here's what Peter Bob Diamond says. In other words, we don't say that the divine essence generates, or that the divine essence is begotten, or that the divine essence proceeds. Rather, we say that the Father generates, and the Son is begotten, and the Holy Spirit proceeds. that reality, the divine essence, that nature or substance is not generating, nor generated, nor proceeding. Now, I asked Bruno to ask them the question, if they believe that the divine essence, if Jesus has a divine essence, and of course they would say yes, and that he's God, then the question is, how did he get it, and who did he get it from? Now here's their answer to Bruno. He says he doesn't know the basics on the issues. The diamonds are referring to me. It's the teaching of Christianity that the Father, as the first person of the Trinity, has the divine essence from himself, while the Son has the same numerical divine essence by eminent generation from the Father. That's why he is the Son. Now we're going to go and pick up on that comment you said right there about the eminent generation.
Oh man! First he goes, it's just to Bruno. He goes, so you don't know anything. This is a deep theological thing. You don't even know your theology. He said. He says, well, he got it from the Father, and he got it by eminent generation. Big word. Woo! Big word. Woo! Big word. Eminent generation. Now you look up that word, right? You don't want to say begotten, right? So I guess the creature said, begotten of eminent generation. Begotten from the Father by eminent generation. Now let's analyze that word. Now I'm going to add this to my thing. It's so stupid. Eminent means inherent, something that's within, right? Well, that's already a heresy because there's nothing inherent to God. He is. There's nothing internal or external. He is the divine essence. That's what they mean by simple. Not stupid doesn't mean simple. Means he's not compound. He's not made up of several parts. He's just the divine essence. So there's nothing inherent or external to him. So that's heresy, okay, right away. So the Father's got something eminent to him, internal, that's heresy. Secondly, okay, so I presume, Diamond Brothers, you mean inherent to the Father, his divine essence. So there you go. His divine essence is generated. You just, when you analyze the word he used, that's how stupid he is. He doesn't look up a dictionary to see what he's saying. Eminent generation. Yeah, but what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? I mean, in our creed, we don't say, born of the Father by eminent generation. Or eminently born of the Father by his inherent what? His inherent what? His inherent what? Yeah. These are the jackasses you want to follow? Go ahead. And like Bruno said, this even the modern people don't believe that. But here's the sneaky part. This maybe can convert some of them. They all believe because they're reading the creeds. I mean, this goes back to the old Arian heresy. But when I discovered it in the 1215 Fourth Lateran Council and Lombard and Aquinas, this is
the
hopes. It's because they don't bring it out because it's horrible and they can't explain it. They don't know how to explain it. So it's one of those, and they have, that's why there's a lot of people that could still be saints growing up during this period of time because they hid a lot of this stuff. They did. It was bantered about amongst the theologians, the bishops, and the with the councils. So they know that there's something wrong with it, so they don't want to teach it to you. There's other issues on that too that they keep secret. And the one about the internal intention opinion on the sacraments, they keep that secret. They don't reveal that. So you go back and you look at it and you go, whoa, there's something wrong with this. Yeah. And like Matthew said a very true thing, something very good. I told him to go, he's in England, I said, Worcestershire, England, and he went into cathedral, I said, take a picture, is there any desecrations? And he gave me a good answer. He said, Rich, I don't even need to know if it has desecrations, I already read your stuff on the heresies they hold. That's enough. He said, this is bad. So he's looking at the heresies and taking it the other way. And my point is, for you to have desecrations in a church like that, that glorified pagan gods, idols, gross immorality, and devils, you're as bad as you can get. You can't get worse than that. That's what the Jews did with the golden calf. And when you do that, you commit humongous, massive sins against the faith. You fall from the faith. You can't have both of it, right? So, he was looking at, we're talking about the divine essence heresies, the one about the Holy Eucharist, that Jesus Christ, body and blood and divinity is in his Holy Eucharist, but not his soul. The two in one species heresy, the one in two species heresy. I got loads of, I got a whole bunch of heresies for you. As one priest just said, they got more heresies than alley cats have fleas. And they had them back then.
Yeah.
It's not nothing new. And to give you guys, like, we'll stay on this topic for a couple seconds. So he's right. You're looking at the faith issues and you're going, whoa. Then you look at the desecration and you go, huh. Figures, you know, I mean, but you can take it the other way around, too. And you look at, you say, for you to put, imagine you guys came into my church and I got Apollo on the ceiling in a positive light, just glorifying it's Jupiter on my front door. I mean, this has been, all right? So you can take this from many different angles you want to go. And I tell you many reasons why God's cursing people for these last 1,000 years is like borrowed time. The world, in my opinion, really ended 1,000 years. It almost, in a sense, I say it ended. And God, and they say, God, can you give us another? Okay, I'll give you another 1,000 years just to show you how evil you are. But most of the people, now we are going to get more people at the end times. We are going to get an end time conversion, which is God's working his biggest miracles now, bigger than he did with Abraham, out of the Ur of Chaldees, what he's doing with us. And he's going to gather people in. But they don't believe God can curse people for 1,000 years like that, but he is.
Yeah.
And you're worthy of it. It doesn't mean everybody was in our churches, but the leaders, and now it is, it got worse and worse and worse. When the Lord says, because you forget my law, I forget your children. Mm-hmm. And because you commit sins against the faith, you fall into sins of gross immorality. That's the Romans 1 curse. Mm-hmm. But this is going on for a long time. So you want to be honest, they glorify scholasticism.
Yeah.
You read my book on the Hellenization, everybody agrees, even the Protestants, even your so-called Catholic theologians, the historians and stuff, they will tell you there was a tremendous shift in the theology in the 11th century, when Scholasticism came in. It entered into your theology, it entered into your canon law, and something else, there were three things. But it entered into all these arenas, and it was the mind over the heart, and all these things started to come in. And just, this is another side note, I'm reading that book you gave me, Jesus in the Talmud, really good. But about all the blasphemies against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Blessed Mother, that Jesus is a bastard, Mary was a whore. I hate to say that, but that's what they say. And she was fooling around with a Roman soldier called Bandira. And Joseph got angry, and that's why I let her go. And this guy says what the Jews do is they take our New Testament and they flip it to their meaning. They go, oh no, that's their excuse. The Holy Ghost impregnated. No, she really was a whore. And Joseph divorced and all. So they come up with their own perverse stories based upon the New Testament saying we're lying, but we know they're lying. But what I found out was on this, this is just a little side note. It goes back, even back to the early days in the 2nd century, even though Origen was a heretic, and he was an apostate, but in the 2nd century, this guy Celsus, he was a pagan philosopher in the 2nd century, circa 1178, he was teaching that. He says, I was talking to the Jew. This is what these Jews believe. It's back then. And so he said the Palestinian Talmud has it in there too, but not as much as the Babylonian. That Babylonian Talmud came out later on, 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries. But this is already being taught. But here's the point I want to make. There's this guy, Emmensinger. I massacred his name. He's German. And he was around 1701. And he wrote Judaism Unmasked. Now, he was a genius guy. Like, he knew Aramaic. He knew Hebrew. And he knew a lot of rabbis. He wanted to become a Jew at first. So he studied Judaism. And rabbis praised him. They liked him. But then he flipped when he was studying it. And he realized how bad it was. And so he wrote this book. This was in 1701. Now, this is in Germany. But he was one of the first ones to do a deep dive on it, and he was very knowledgeable, so the rabbis couldn't explain it away. But this is, we think this is a modern thing. As soon as the Freemasons are coming around, they're already playing up to the Jew. They gave him equal rights in democracy, which is total evil, and he gave them equal rights in the government, and they sent the positions of power. Same thing that's happening with the homos. You give them equal rights, and now they're up in power, and they're taking over the whole show. Yeah. Since when do sinners have equal rights? That's like telling robbers, you have an equal right to rape somebody. You have a civil right to rape people. And you know a lot of these guys were Freemasons, okay?
The Borgias, isn't there a rumor that he might be a Murano?
Yeah. Well, at the time of the Borgias, too, you got to watch that movie we have. It's a mandatory, I say. We censor. Don't look at none of these movies unless you're censored, because you got to censor parts out. We censor them. That Borgia movie, something I would call mandatory watching. And I told the brothers this many times when I got that Borgia movie, because there's some bad stuff in it too, you know. But I can edit out the immorality and all that. But I don't believe it was true. I said this guy couldn't have done this. This is a monster. And I said they're attacking the papacy or this guy. And then I read the history of Pope by Louis Pasteur. Not only was the Borgia movie true, he was worse even. There was things he did worse than the Borgia movie shows. So then I brought the movie back out of the dustbin, I edited it. I said, this is the truth. You don't like it, you get angry. Because you know what they tell you? Oh, you're talking to papacy. It's just like this freaking Rome, the poop in Rome, Pope Francis. Every time you tell, oh, he's the Pope. He's infallible, he's impeccable. Nobody can talk against the Pope. He's the Holy Father. How can you call that guy Holy Father? The only holy I want him to have is holes in his head from bullets. Yeah. That's the holes I want him to have. That's how I want him to be holy. I'll turn him into a piece of Swiss cheese. Yeah. I'll get one of them Tommy guns and I'll spray him. He's a holy father, right? So they idolized, the idolization of popes is another new thing. The first 1,000 years or 1,200 years, they didn't idolize popes. If a pope was bad, he's going to get it, man. He's going to hear about it. He's going to be deposed. He's going to go on trial. Read my book, Non-Catholics Can't Hold Office in the Catholic. Read it. I got all the testimony there. It's a modern thing. Why isn't you idolizing these apostate anti-popes? Because he wants you to blindly follow them. Remember that prayer? It's in the Bible. Even wait till that which is holding the Antichrist back is taken away, and then the Antichrist will reveal himself. True popes. Good, true popes. True teachings of the church were the bulwark and the wall against the bastard. It's been removed since, at least we go back to 1130, and there's even some before that were bad. And since these anti-popes came to power, he's coming to power more and more and more and more and more progressively. But anyway, this has been going on for, the evidence is all there, you know. And when you look at the way they've been speaking, did anybody speak like I'm speaking? The way I speak is the way the church fathers, read the true church fathers. I'm not speaking any different. They were so hard against heretics, man. You better watch it. The beloved St. John said, when he's going to take a hot bath, we got hot baths and hot springs, we take our hot bath over here. I don't mind if like a self-professed non-Catholic, but he said, this is a heretic. I forget the guy's name, Cerinthius. He's an Arian heretic. And he was taking a hot bath in the same hot baths that John was going to go. He said, I'm not going to go in there and take a hot bath when he's in there. God might strike him with lightning and knock the whole place down. I mean, St. Nicholas of Bari punched Arius in the face at the Council of Nicaea. Ba-boom! Ba-bang! I mean, look at the hard words, right? Now we're living in a mushy, non-judgmental, non-punishmental society. When this poop, just a couple of weeks on this Disney thing, he came out and said to these transgenders, I cannot judge you. God loves everybody. We accept everyone into our community. Beware of those who quote the Bible against you, for they're infiltrators. Where are the infiltrators that are quoting the Bible against transgenders and homos, and he's kissing their ass? You want to stay with this guy? You deserve him. I don't know if there's any hope for anybody still in that nominal Vatican II church. I think they're all Canaanites. We're going to get our convert priests from the schismatics, the Russian, the Greek, Anglicans maybe, the high Anglicans. The Anglicans are even bad too. Now they got women in there, but they're splitting too between the high and the low. So, I mean, this is just one thing. We can go on and on. There's no hell, he said. What happens is when you die, you either go to heaven, or instead of going to hell, you just disappear. That's what he said, you disappear. Yeah. Like you've been watching Star Trek, like on it. Beam me up, Scotty. Yeah. But then you appear somewhere else, right? He says, disappear, you're totally annihilated. Yes. This is the guy, the Holy Father! Oh, you got the nerve to call him Holy Father, that basset hound looking piece of crap. If I had control over him, he's being tortured. Yeah. I'm not killing him real easy, man. I'm going to do it in front of everybody. This is what happens. The nominal Catholics are our biggest enemies because they're giving the Catholic God and the Catholic faith a bad name. Not the Protestants, not the Jews even, not the Satanists even, not the Muslims even. Nominal Catholics, because we're running around saying, I'm Catholic! Biden, I'm Catholic! And then he calls Biden a good Catholic! Who supports abortion up to the moment, all abortions, even when the baby comes out, you can kill him. Yeah. Support, he's the first one, Biden, that says homos can get married. He goes to Rome and the guy blesses him. I can't wait till I start killing people, you understand? Till God starts killing these people. I'm not going to be happy. Jeremiah 6:11. Yeah. I'm full of the fury of the Lord. I'm weary from holding it in. Pour it out. Yeah. God, the world has gone mad. And it hasn't happened overnight. And that's what we talk about, the great apostasy. It's been going on for 1,000 years. That's what Satan was enchained. When you let a guy out of prison because he's been in prison for a while, he's got to go out and get his connections. He's got to start corrupting people. He's got to start from square one again. He's got to start working. This is just come out of prison and he controls the whole world. So the guy was a bootleg and now he's in prison. He's got to go out and get the connections. He's got to start working up his organization again. It doesn't happen overnight. That's why he's a past apostate dimer, but he's refused to look beyond the Vatican II. You think only these Vatican II guys are apostate anti-popes? Only them? Pius XII was great, and all of a sudden he dies and all hell broke loose right after he died? Everything went that bad after he died? It don't happen that way. And then when you go back and look at all the evidences against these guys, Leo XIII in the Chicago Conference.
Yeah.
That was like another Assisi back in the 1880s or something.
1893.
Chicago, Chicago. I'm sorry, Will.
I know. Shitty Chicago.
Shitty Chicago. Beware the big shitties. I'm telling that all the time. You said it was 1893. This anti-Semitic thing that you've been planning for hundreds of years, he's going along with it in the 18th century. That's why all this Holocaust crap is believed.
Yeah.
They've been planting seeds since the Freemasons came to power. And the Jews could never come to power unless they had the Gentiles helping them. Number one, the Freemasons. That's their number one people that helped them. They were created and controlled by the apostate Jews, second to that, and now almost equally as powerful in the late 19th century, the Christian Zionists. That Christian Zionist movement is horrible. And you don't even need to be a Freemason. You have to be a stupid Protestant. Or a stupid Vatican II. Vatican II is the worst Zionist of all. In Nostra Aetate, paragraph 3, they came out and said the Jews are all blessed. No Jew could ever be said he's cursed as if it flows from the scriptures. I said, what Bible are you reading? Almost every Jew in the Old Testament went bad. Just like almost every Catholic goes bad. Only few people are saved. That is, only few God's chosen people. So what Bible are you reading? And they're calling them God's chosen people while they deny Christ. They're saying they're under a covenant God and pleasing to God. Vatican II said that. But that started first with the Protestants in the late 19th, and the Vatican II put the icing on the cake. So once you believe these Jews were blessed, then that's it. Yeah, and they used the Holocaust to bribe everybody, you know, with the anti-Semitism claim. I said, first of all, it never happened. I wish it did, because at least we get rid of a lot of these bastards. And we have, that's the only way you can purify the world. He should have killed the bastards. But he didn't kill them. He killed Jews like he killed anybody else. If you were a prisoner and you were a traitor, you committed certain crimes, you died. The other ones die from typhus and disease, you die. The evidence is so overwhelming. These bastards, it wasn't a plan right from the beginning. And what do the Freemasons do? As soon as they go in there, the first thing they're told is they're going to rebuild Solomon's temple. The Masons and they got the whole procedure. They're technically hiring and all, they're building Solomon's temple. And what is the next temple going to be? We know. It's Antichrist. It's not Christ. And these bastards believe it's a blessed thing. You got to be genius to figure this out, you stupid Protestants, Christian Zionists, including your nominal Catholics. How could these people that deny that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, God, be pleasing to God, be under a covenant, and you call them blessed? He says, well, you call them blessed, shall cause them to err, and then you call blessed, shall be thrown down headlong. And you're going to go deeper pits than they go for deceiving them, for lying to them. And you know why they do it? Because they don't believe the Catholic Church is the new Israel and new Zion. We are the true Jews. Spiritual Jews. All fake good Catholics are spiritual Jews. Fake, because that Jew has two terminologies. It can refer to race or religion. Even the Jews know that. Even the Orthodox Jews will kick someone out of his Orthodox Jewish community if he becomes a Christian, and they will say he's no longer a Jew even. They will no longer call him a Jew. They know he's racially a Jew, but so it has two meanings. That's how they fool you. Are you talking about race or religion? If you're talking about religion, the apostate Jews are evil because their religion is evil. I hate their religion. It's disgusting. Okay? I don't hate them as people. I love and pray for them, but their religion is disgusting and it's horrible. If you're talking about their race, I don't judge nobody by race alone. The reason God destroys, and sometimes God destroys all races. He exterminated races in the history of mankind. Why? Not because of their race, because of their gross disobedience to him. They reach a point where God finally says, I've had it with the whole race, like the Canaanites. You were so evil with your sins against the faith and immorality. I'm going to destroy you. That's why God kills people. Not because of their race. And I go over that many times. And Hitler believed the same thing. He did not kill his people because of their race. He had Jews in the German army. Jews fighting who were Christian, Christianized Jews. He didn't trust the ones that weren't Christian, because they were subverting his whole country. Look what they did to Germany before Hitler came to power. He purified the place. He had problems too. I'm not saying the guy, if he didn't come around on his deathbed, he's presumed to be in hell because he had his own heresies, but he was way lesser evil than anybody in the whole world. He exposed a lot of the plot's employees. So, we're looking at this thing going back now, which is going to cause me to have to study a little bit more about, and it sort of fits in with the timeline when they tell you the Freemasons began to get popular in 1717. Because we have that encyclical by Innamenti by one of your Protestant popes. Now, a lot of things anti-Protestant popes did were good too. We used their good quotes, but they're still Protestant popes. You know, it's just like Protestants when they say good, it's good. But they did condemn Freemasonry, you see. So, hey, going back to the Borgia movie, he even let, see, we were talking about this week. When you catch an apostate Jew, back when we had the so-called Catholic kingdoms and empires, if you catch him undermining your country and trying to overthrow it, undermine it secretly and all that, that's treason. That's treason. He dies. He gets the Holocaust. Make sure you cut his hair first, and you remember when they had to cut their hair, they gave him a meal, they gave an operation, and then they threw him in the oven. Right. But make sure you kill him. Because if you let him live, he's going to... And then what they would do is... I'm not saying to kill every Jew because he's a Jew. You can be an apostate Jew, live in your ghetto, and don't bother us. Fine. I'm not... because you want to have a chance to convert them and all that. But when he starts to subvert your country from within, what do you do to traitors? Even if he's not a Jew. He's a traitor. It's treason. Death! So what do? They let them, they send him into another country to get rid of him. And Borgia movie, you see that. Remember, they got into the... Borgia let them into Italy. And once they got there, they sort of moving from country to country. Now, you could what you can do when you see a couple of Jews doing that, you kill all the ones you know that are traitors. Then you could say, don't kill the other ones because you have no evidence. They're not treason, but maybe they are. So you say, I don't want them in here anyway because they're dangerous. So then you could let them move to somewhere else, Madagascar, the North Pole, the South Pole, with the Eskimos. I mean, you can let them move. You know, I'm not saying kill all Jews, but you kill a Jew the same reason you're going to kill anybody else. He's not special. He commits treason, he dies. He does something worthy of the death penalty, he dies, just like anybody else. So this is my lecture for today. Anyway, we'll do the one on routine next week. I can go on a little more about this too. You know, it's go on. Anybody have any questions so far?
Hey, Richard.
Go ahead.
Speaking about Hitler, is it true that I heard that he was funded by Jews? Like, you know, he was they funded that the Jews funded him at the war, and how he, you know, organized and got, you know, military support, everything by the Jews. Is that, yeah. Do you know about that? Yeah. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. Originally, he was not funded. The Jews were against him originally. And a lot of Jews remained against him. The Zionist Jews supported him. Because what happened was, they said, look, if you let our people out of Germany and let them go into Palestine, we'll support you. Because that's all they wanted, their people to go to the Promised Land. Because they needed a war for that to happen. If there was no World War II or this fake Holocaust thing, the Jews would never go to Palestine. It was a desert. They had a hard time recruiting people into Palestine. They wanted to go to the United States. They wanted to stay in Germany. They loved Europe. They raped Europe. And they still will tell you, Jews will still tell you, and they'll all admit it, they admired Hitler and his order in Europe. They admire it, but they hate it because it's Christian. So in the beginning, all the Jews were against him. And then when he was talking against the Jews, they boycotted him. And then the Zionist Jews came and said, let's talk to him. And they said to Hitler, we'll lift your boycott and we'll support you as long as you let these Jews go to Palestine and take their assets with them. And so he never took their money. He didn't steal from them. You got to read the transfer agreement. I go over that in my Conspiracy of the Jews in detail. And there's a Jew himself, Edward Black, wrote about it. It's called the transfer agreement. So these Jews were allowed to go to Palestine. They deposited money in a bank in Germany, which then sent that money to a bank in Palestine. So when they went to Palestine, they were able to withdraw their funds. He never stole any money from them. They kept their assets, but he kicked them out and sent Palestine, and the Zionists liked it. That's what they wanted, because they could not get people to go to Palestine. The Jews didn't want to go there. And Hitler was then, after, then with the Madagascar plan came after that, because and when the war broke out, he could never send them to Palestine anymore. When the war was in, and so now he's thinking, Let's send these Jews to Madagascar, to another place. So if some Jews did support him, it would be the Zionists. Because he, actually, I say Hitler was the founder of Zionism. And I wrote about this in that sense. I said he should have never done, Hitler shouldn't have done that, okay? Because that's against the faith. He's just trying to get him out of Germany. I don't blame him for that. I understand what he's trying to do. He don't want to get them just out of Germany. He wants to get them out of Europe and England. He saw it. He was smart. He's seen it. He was wise. He said, they're destroying every European culture. Get them out of here. Okay, send them to Palestine. You know, he's not religiously looking at it. And we got apostate antipopes that are worse than he is, that are kissing the ass of the Jew. They're not going to help him. Basically, if you had a true pope at that time, Hitler, they would have supported the Germans and the Axis power in that war as a lesser evil. And I believe they would have even converted Hitler on other parts where he was wrong. But what he needed to know was, you don't let them go to Palestine because Jesus Christ forbid them to go there. It says, it's one of the verses we have in the Gospels. It says, he's talking to the Jews, I think it's John chapter 5. He says, you shall not see me in the day come when you say, blessed he come in the name of the Lord. I'm going to cast you out of this land, and you're going to not have a right to it anymore until you accept me as the Messiah. I'm going to, 70 AD, Titus came along, destroyed the temple, and Vespasian, destroyed them, and they've been in exile for 2,000 years, until just recently in 1947, so now they have a state, which is an abomination, a desolation, a place where it doesn't belong. That's in the scriptures too. So Hitler needed to be told this. He needed to be told, no, you don't, anywhere but Palestine, that's what they want religiously. But no one told him that. So from politically, he just wanted them out of Europe. All right, but when the war started, he couldn't send them to Palestine because it was under English control. He couldn't send them there, so he had to send them over to. He wanted to send them to Madagascar, but when you look at that whole political situation, Hitler never wanted to annihilate the whole race ever because they were racial Jews. Never, but he knew they were a dangerous threat within his own nation, and he wanted the ones that were not Christianized. He wanted them out of the country. You know, get out. Now, those Jews that were undermined in German society like they are today, go back and look what Germany was like before Hitler came to power. Homos, transgenders, drug addiction, heroin, massive. Yeah. In Germany, my father was living in Hungary, same problem. So when Hitler came to power and came into Hungary, it was all gone overnight. Within 1 week, it was done. He killed all the major drug dealers. No more drug addiction. No more drug problem. Got rid of all the pornography houses. Got rid, closed down all the Freemasonic lodges. I mean, this guy was a death blow to them. That's why they keep talking to them. They're obsessed with them. The first thing I tell people, because they got problems with Hitler and Nazis, I go, all right, because they don't understand, they've been brainwashed. I go, okay, wait, this is this. The Nazis are dead and gone, okay? This is 50 years ago. They got no power in this world since the end of the war. Who's messing up the world today in a way like it's never been messed up before? Don't say the Nazis and Hitler, they're dead. Who? Take a look at who's doing it, the apostate Jews and the Freemasons who keep blaming Hitler. He's got you looking back 50 years and you're not looking about what they're doing to you right now. How stupid you people are. How dumb you are. Even Tucker Carlson said a good thing the other day about this. He's talking about white racism, terrorism by white people in the United States. So he says, it's a bigger problem, he says, than the immigration. It's a bigger problem than the drug problem. It's a bigger problem than Antifa burning up towns. It's a bigger problem than the crime in Chicago. That's what they're saying about the white people. Yeah, yeah. He said, and Tucker's going, can you show me where this is? What is this white supremacy? Who's doing this? Yeah. Actually, I would say, let's stand up a little more and defend maybe. They will defend themselves. But you're not going out attacking people. It's a fiction. It's the same thing Sutton Center doing with Hitler, right? And you notice that Jews could not get all they wanted. Did not succeed in giving them all they want. Gave them a lot. They got rid of a lot of the monarchies, Archduke Ferdinand and all that. But they needed to get rid of all the monarchies and power. And at the end of World War II, that's when they got everything they needed. Bango! And that's when they came to power with the State of Israel. Right after that. So that's the easy answer you tell these people. How did Germans tie their shoes anyway?
Yeah.
And little Nazis. Now, they keep talking about it all the time. And you go, I said, you guys are idiots. Yeah. The same thing that happened in Germany and Europe before the world is happening in our country, in Europe, in England. Except for the Muslim countries who will not tolerate it because they still kill homos in places like Uganda where they kill them. What do we got going on here? Faggots, transgenders, child molesters, Satan worshipers who sacrifice and eat children, drug addiction, alcoholism, Antifa groups, high crime in the cities, and you tell me this country is blessed, Europe is blessed, you're crazy. You got to be cursed if you call that a blessing. You got to be out of your mind. Who's doing it? Who?
Yeah.
Look at who. Follow the money. They always tell you to follow the money. The Jews. They control the central banks, the Rothschilds. Follow the money. That's how they come to power. One guy we got was a financial guy. I'm going to post this up. I didn't post it yet. But he had regular businesses. Like, you can have an oil company. You can pump oil. You can have Walmart. You can have all that. And he was very rich. He says that's small money. You're not in the big money. So what's the big money? He says the financial arena, banking, loans. That's where the power is in the financial sector. Because who controls the money controls the world. Because everything the oil company makes, everything Walmart makes, it goes through the bank. It goes through the bank. The bank gets their cut. The bank, the financial get their cut. So he went into finances and he was very successful. And he started to get really successful when they invited him to an orgy. They had this satanic kind of like an orgy. And they were drinking and there was girls there and there's all kinds of sex kind of stuff. And he says he didn't mind that too much because he was kind of pervert. He admitted, he says, I like girls. And I went there and I said, well, that's not too bad. You know, they wanted to see if he would participate in this orgy, this drinking banquet and this orgy with the women and all that. So that wasn't too bad. So he went along with it. He says, then they moved him up. He started moving up because he's going along their plan in the financial sector. Then a guy approached him and said, we want you to attend this this sacrifice we're going to have. And he says, what, like an animal? He goes, no, a human. And they said to Lucifer. Things like Saint, you see. Saint, some people, they don't want to hear Saint. Lucifer, angel of light, remember? Ecclesiastes 10:14. Saint himself transformed himself into an angel of light. So they told Lucifer. And he says, we're going to offer up this human sacrifice, and then we eat it. And he went, that was it. He said, that's too much for me. I ain't going to go there. Well, that was the end of his career. They did a lot of stuff to him, and I'm going to post it up. You'll see, it's a true story. I mean, and that was the end of his financial career. It's a miracle he's still alive today. But God does preserve people like him who are bold enough to come out to get the testimony out there. But now you're looking at what goes on at the highest levels of finance. Satanism, but the Latin call it Luciferianism because they don't want to use the word Satan because maybe it's too scary. Other people, they don't care. It goes around and says, I'm Satan. So you're offering up human sacrifices and you're eating kids. They laugh at you. This just happens. It happened in the Old Testament too when the Jews went back. They passed their kids through fire and they would eat them. It's nothing new. This is a satanic thing. Yeah, all right? The devil requires that. And when he didn't do that, he never ascended to the high position of power. And I think he said, there's only about, how many people really control the whole world? 3,000 people. And he knew, he had the inside of all of this, you see, which was going on. So, did Hitler do that? Sorry, pal, no. Other lies about Hitler, he was a homo, the big lie. He hated homosexuality, hated it. He was chaste. He never got married to Eva Braun. They say he might have got married later on to her, right before Germany was taken, but he was chaste. He hated sexual perversions, right? He hated adultery. He hated lying. He had a lot of good things. He had bad things too, unfortunately, on the faith issues. And my point is, if there was a good pope living in his day, if I was around and I was the pope, I would convert him by God's grace. Yeah. I know, because I know
some of the apostate anti-popes.
He's looking at mushy anti-popes. I'm going to follow you. Yeah. This Maximilian Kolbe guy they put up on a pedestal because he glorifies apostate Jews because they don't want to judge or punish or kill anybody who were not. Look, this guy was fighting against Bolshevism. Communism. He was the bulwark against it. Supported him, but not enough. Never enough. Look what they did to the Corsteros. Look at the movie Greater Glory. Pius XI, another Freemason, for sure. Apostate Pius XI. Betrayed the Corsteros when they were winning. He could have had all Europe get together and support the Corsteros. France, Spain, Italy, England. England's Anglican, but maybe he could get them to go along too, who knows. But he could have got at least a knock, go down there and help the Corsteros. What did he do? He backed the Freemasonic government and told the Corsteros to put up their guns and stop. The guy's a traitor. He's a bum. Yeah. And Hitler's looking at these wimps, just like we are. Look, if we try to convert somebody to the Catholic Church, and these conservative Protestants that are at least got the natural law, and you go, oh, follow the poop. You go, I'm never going to go to that church. That guy, if that guy's Christian, then no one's a Christian. I see what he does. He supports people who support abortion. He doesn't judge transgenders and homos. He doesn't condemn any evil doing and sins. He's like a socialist, a communist, extreme lefty liberal kind of a guy. I'm not gonna go into that church. The guy's a fairy bird. They protect sexual molestation and pedophilia. Who's gonna go into that church? Hitler's dealing with this, and he's manly. He's looking at this. They're not gonna. He tried. He did say one thing to even Himmler. He said, "Don't ever leave the Catholic Church, because no matter what, it's the true church." He did say that, but he held heresies too regarding the Old Testament, which Pius XI knew were heresies, but he never called Hitler out by name. He could have helped him if he would have denounced Hitler by name. So it's a long, you got to read my book on apostate Hitler's sins and nonsense. So, that's an easy answer just to give anybody. Who's messing the world up today?
Watching the basketball game.
Not Casper the Ghost?
Yeah.
Huh?
Watching the basketball game, and on KFC he has an ad with that Diablo.
It's so bad now. We are like kicking into 1,000 high gear with all this stuff. Devils on TV, bull dyke lesbians, faggots and homos, men changing diapers, women walking out, working out in the car, guys staying home and like little fag birds. Yeah. It's crazy. We're just talking about the game. Your team's pretty good. That's Bruce's team. The Denver Nuggets. Man, that Jokic is good. Yeah. And Murray.
Yeah.
And even the other guys came in the other day.
Jokic and Murray were out of off game a little bit. But they passed the ball.
I like that guy Braun, too. This is a little side note. There's a guy on Denver. His name is Braun, Brawn, like Eva Braun. Yeah. We're talking about Hitler. Yeah, yeah. That was Hitler's girlfriend. Well, there's another guy on the team, Brawn Brown. So the black announcer, he calls Braun Brown.
Yeah.
And the other guy, they always, and he says, "No, it's Braun." He goes, "No, it's Brown." I said, the guy, white guy's right, it's Braun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, you know why he doesn't want to say Braun?
Yeah.
Everybody knows Braun. It's German, Eva Braun. Yeah, that's Hitler's girlfriend. Yeah. They don't want to say Braun. Nazis! Yeah, every time the Jew hears. Yeah. What's his first name, by the way? What's his first name?
Christian.
Christian
Braun! And the Jew was Braun!
Yeah.
Eva Braun, Hitler! I can't sleep tonight. What happened? I'm waking up in a cold sweat. I heard the name Braun.
Yeah.
I think we banned that name because that was Hitler's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think that we banned everything German. Basically, if we could, you know. Always told you, what's the best way to get a Jew really bent out of shape when you want to wave to him? You just go like this, and then you wave. You see, now, he says you gave him the stiff arm, and you go, "Your Honor, I was waving to him, that's all, he's getting all bent out." All he did was wave to him, and you gotta just wave, you see. Give him a little wave. That'll give him a heart attack. Send him up. I told you, we're going to Christianize the salute. We're going to turn it into a Christian salute. We go like this. Like that, Christianize it. That was the Romans did that too.
Yeah.
But you look at the order of the Germans. But today, what's going on today? Same thing. Hitler put off the end of the world for like a couple years by what he did. Gave us a little more time. But they're back at it. Same thing. When you go back and look at the movie we have, what's that? Europa.
Yeah.
You look how they corrupted Germany. And my father was living in Hungary. It was disgusting. Oh, like a lot of stuff you see today was going on back then. Yeah. Pedophilia, transgenderism, massive homosexuality, drug addiction, alcoholism. Yeah. He hated alcoholism too.
Well, the vaudeville.
Drunkards, vaudeville.
Freaks.
Yeah. It was all going on. Yeah.
He kicked them out and they founded Hollywood.
He kicked them out because he didn't just speak, he actually took action. And closing down the Masonic lodges and all that. So now you know why they're all hating him. But right now, the biggest thing is that's all a deflection when you're looking back. I says, who's messing the world up today? That's all. Come on. Follow the money. You know, and some people may talk about the Freemasons, but not much, you know, but they never want to go back to the Jews.
No.
They might say the Rothschilds, you know, but don't talk about the Jews, you know, the apostate Jews in the Talmud. Don't talk about them. They're very possession of Israel. How could, it's totally against God. They're antichrists. God can never bless them. Second, I use the other example too, right? Even if you're an Orthodox Jew and you're going by the Torah, and some Orthodox Jews are moral in their own society, some of them are. They don't like homos, they will protest against abortion and homos. Look at Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Tel Aviv. Oof. They say it's the fag capital of the world. Pedophilia, faggism in Tel Aviv. Now you Jews, Orthodox Jews, said you read the Torah. So do we. But it belongs to us, not you. That's another issue. What does God do every time you Jews did that stuff in Israel? What does he do?
Yeah.
He kicks your ass out because he says you don't belong there because of your gross sins of immorality, which are caused by your sins against the faith.
Yeah.
And they have all different kinds of beliefs. A lot of them are atheistical. They believe in Hindu, Buddha, all kinds of stuff they believe in. Agnostics. How could, even according, here's my point, even if you're an Orthodox Jew, how could you, like that's what the Tory Carter Jews are correct. The ones in Brooklyn and Williamsburg. And Will's been in contact with, it's really surprising, the guy talks to him when he calls him, but he has, they have a good conversation. The guy, what's his name again?
David Weiss.
Rabbi David Weiss. But he condemns the current Jews over there, you know? And he condemns their immoralities and all that. And he's right, they're Bolsheviks, they're atheistical, they're agnostic. So, even on that point alone, my thing is, if you're not going to take it from the New Testament point of view, and you're not a Christian or something, even if you're an Orthodox Jew or Muslim, you read your Old Testament or something, look at Israel today. These Christian Zionists are going over there saying it's blessed. And they know what the Bible says. You read your... that's why we read... You read the Bible? Yeah, we read the Bible. I know what he does when the Jews do that stuff.
Yeah.
First of all, he has them punished, and then he has a foreign power come in and kick their ass out of Israel and take them into captivity. Assyria. Babylon. They're gone. Egypt. So even based upon that, it's not blessed. But these Christian Zionists are going over there, touting it to the high heavens. You know how much money they're pouring into this place? I think they're more dangerous than the Three Nations were the secret thing. Christian Zionism is like a humongous, humongous infection. Because you don't need to be a Freemason to be a Christian Zionist. Not everybody wants to be a goofy Freemason. You've got to be a goofball to do that. Now, again, that maybe later. You've got to be a goof. Are you going to join any club that first time? They tell you when you go in there, you got to go in there just with your underwear on. So now you're just with your underwear, and you got to bring a penny. I forget what the penny's for. And they tell you, like, hop on one leg and cluck like a chicken. Are you going to do that? You got to kill me. I ain't going to do that. If you do that, you're an undignified, stupid jerk. You're a Sapposaurus. If you're going to do stuff like that, well, okay, you get what you deserve. They're laughing. We got this guy. He's hopping on a leg and clucking like a chicken. He'll do whatever we tell him. That's also these secret evil societies. They all have like these fraternities too. They make you do stupid, undignified stuff, which is against the dignity in which God created us. And if you're willing to do that, they can own you. So, but then the Christian Zionists, though, with my point, they don't all want to do that. Maybe, you know, I'm not going to cluck like. But so they got them, which I think is even worse from the religious perspective, defending current day Israel as being blessed by God through the Bible. The heresy of that's the worst. I mean, you got people over here like I don't know. We're living in a madhouse. But Protestants are all mad too, anyway, aren't they? Yeah. And the nominal Catholics are worse than Protestants when it comes to this Christian Zionism. They want peace at all costs. Religion really don't matter much to a lot of these people, like ecumenism. But these Protestants, back to them. Because they denied the Catholic Church, and they're disobedient to our authority as the Church, and they want to be their own popes and their own bosses. They don't want authority. That's how they're interpreting the Old Testament, because they don't want to see the Catholic Church in any of it.
Yep.
But look, let's just forget the Old Testament for 1 second. Look at the New Testament. How many things do the Protestants deny in the New Testament? You got to wonder. They must have some super, super sunglasses, eyeglasses when they read in the Scriptures. It's got to gloss over all the things they deny. Faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
James 2:26. Matthew 7:21. Thou wilt say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he does the will of my Father. Matthew 19:17. If thou enter life, keep the commandments. That's what Christ said. But they say you can be saved by faith alone. There's literally 1,000 verses in the Bible that tell you you've got to do faith and deeds. So woe to you Protestants who think you can be saved by faith alone. We get it all the time. I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. I know where I'm going.
Yeah.
Boy, what a surprise you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know when they say the Spirit is lifted up before the fall? So right before that Protestant dies, he's up here in the third heaven. Yeah. He's ready to go and bang! Oh, right after he dies.
It's a funny thing.
Down to the deep pit of hell.
All this crazy pride stuff, you know. The guy said, pride comes before the fall.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about the church? There's no church. I said, Matthew 18:17. If you will not hear the church,
yeah,
then it be the heathen and publican. What church is that? All right, so I mean, Timothy 2:15, 3:15.
Yeah, 1 Timothy 3:15.
The Catholic Church is the pillar and ground of truth.
Yeah.
The Church.
Yeah.
Huh. We can go on and on.
For the reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. In conversation with my parents and other Protestants as well, they believe that the Catholic Church started with St. Constantine.
Exactly.
So they even deny the facts. They don't understand even like facts that are well documented.
Yeah, I know. Because they don't believe the Catholic Church has any right to temporal power, nor the Pope. They refuse to submit to any temporal power. Democracy. And the people tell you, Protestants were the big movers in the democracy movement. No Pope or no monarch. Constantine goes, oh, no, no. Wait a second. Christ is the king of the whole earth, but he has no right to controlling land?
Yeah.
I wrote about this a million times. What's the natural consequence? Christ first came to convert hearts and not nations. Because if you don't have hearts, you ain't going to have a nation. If you don't got Catholics, how can you have a Catholic nation? 2 + 2 = 4? First 300 years, he's working on the hearts of men to convert them to Christianity. Once an area becomes mostly populated with mostly Christians, it already automatically, by default, is becoming a Christian nation. So after 300 years of the martyrs and the suffering and the conversions, God then says, now we're going to, for the first time, give you equal rights in the pagan nation, and then we're going to give you total rights. I'm going to create the Christian kingdom, and they're against that. Because they don't want to obey no man. They don't want to obey no Pope. We had one, that guy, Lance Walnut. I got to bring that thing up. Lance Walnut, what a dope.
Yeah.
He says, no, we don't want God ruling us. And we don't want to go by the commandments. You got to read this guy. I didn't put him up neither. There's so much work I got to do. You guys got to pray for me. I got so much work. Good stuff. But there you go. Okay? So Christ the King. God doesn't. And here's the other. God don't kill people. Again, when do you read your Bible? Where are you reading your Bible?
Moses.
Jesus. Again. Luke 19:27.
Yeah.
As those for my enemies who will not have me reign over them, bring them hither and kill them before me. I think Matthew 22:32, I think, or Luke 32, Luke 22:32. Anyone who has a scrib, let him take it. Anyone who has not, let him sell his coat and buy a sword.
Yeah.
St. John talks about the death penalty. So it's not, I mean, they don't believe in, like, I mean, they're like mush. They don't believe in justified wars. So Christ comes all of a sudden. Yeah, I cannot just send peace but the sword. Matthew 10:32.
Man against variance.
That's right. Well, we said, they leave out humongous parts. Say, Protestants are so bad-willed. So who do you want to be ruled by, Mr. Protestant? Okay, you don't want to be ruled by a Christian king. That's why we got the United States. And what is that? It's a mush-mush. It's nothing. It's not based on any religion or law or anything. Not even the natural law anymore. Not even the natural law.
That Protestant sister Kathy posted that. That guy was a nut. Remember the guy who says, oh, it's not a sin to be a homo?
Well, once you tell people in democracies everyone has a right to do what they want, the door opens to this. The Freemasons already knew what they were going to do eventually. They're going to bring all this stuff in. There's a few things they still don't allow, like rape. Even Tucker, when he was on the other day, he's talking about taboos. He says, we used to have a taboo, adultery, he said. If you commit adultery, you don't get elected.
No.
He brought that up.
He
said the first president to get elected was Reagan. He said, before that, you couldn't even get into the office.
Yeah.
Now, adultery wasn't in the law, like you can't be a president if you're an adulterer, but people had taboos. They had, this was against the this is bad. So they don't want to have any Christian kingdom. So what is left? If it's not a Christian kingdom. Remember Christ said there's only two kingdoms actually in this world? Really, there's only two? His and Satan's?
Yeah.
Satan is the one that controls this world mostly because most people are evil. God delivered it into his hands. And why did he do it? Because we follow him. God's punishing mankind for following Satan. And this is what you deserve. So now you will get a guy that wants to bring a Christian kingdom. And that's the only way you can have a Christian kingdom is by force. Enforcing your laws, killing people that disobey or punishing them. They don't want that. So, by default, everyone else who's not a Catholic, a good Catholic, Catholic king, is all in Satan's kingdom.
Yeah.
He controls all these different religions, all these different ideologies, and he's got them all fighting against one another. And he uses them one against the other for the ultimate power in these final days to bring the Jews to power in Israel. That's his number one gumbares, the Talmudic apostate Jews. I told you long stories many times. When God first called me to New Jersey, I was talking against the Jews like crazy. I was attacked by devils physically. Told by them, stop talking about the Jews. And John Paul too. Jews was number one though. And every time they did it, I talked 10 times. I'm going to talk about Jews 10 times more tomorrow.
Yes.
So you better kill me. Because I'm not going to stop. I tell that story many times. But who's telling you who's in power here? How could the Jews come to such power if they don't have the devil helping them?
Yeah.
Anybody who's, you're going to have God help when you're the devil.
Yeah.
And the devil has a lot of power. I told people that. Without God protecting you, you're dead. The devil can eat you up intellectually and physically. He can twist you like a pretzel. But his dog on a leash. He can only do what God allows him. That's why I always tell you, you go to God, never go to the devil. Never bargain with the devil, never talk with the devil. Just spit on him. Mm-hmm. Tell him to get out of here. You don't debate him. You don't talk with him. You just rebuke him. Be gone, Satan. What you offered is evil. Get out of here, you bastard. God, get it. But he controls people to UFOs, aliens. Those are devils. It does exist. I've seen them. God, they're devils. Absolute devils. You see witches. I've got pictures. I'm going to show them. Witches on broom. Real pictures. Witches flying on brooms, okay? And the guys, the warlocks. So if he can do that, he can put a little light up there and fly it around and all. It's easy. Remember St. Paul says, beware of the principalities, powers, and rules of dark in this world and high places.
Exactly.
That's another thing I got to do on UFOs.
Look at Simon Magus, he flew up.
You're trying, he flew up. What the devil's using the UFOs for is to people who are atheistical or agnostic. Mm-hmm. He wants them to deny the Bible, the creation story.
Yeah.
So he's got them believing in UFOs. So if you can believe that there's life on other planets intelligent, then the whole Bible is wrong. Adam and Eve is wrong, and he gets those people who are agnostic and atheistic to follow the UFO line. So he's got something for everybody. It's like a candy. It's like a poison candy shop. He's got a little something for everybody. You believe a doorknob is God? He'll make a turn a doorknob into God. Go ahead.
Well, that's what Father Jones actually believed. There were people before Adam and Eve.
Exactly.
It's still on. It blows the whole Bible.
What a goofball! What a goof!
And but he's a priest. You went. So that's proof that there's...
And he's a priest, yeah. Good God.
Out of bounds.
Yeah. And well, that's what he gets for the atheistic, agnostical people. Don't believe in any religions here. It's a religion in all of itself. We're superior beings from another planet. You guys are all idiots. We're going to tell you the total truth. And it's complete subversion. All you got to do is rebuke the UFO in the name of Jesus and no God. Then you know they're devils. The name of Jesus. Now, he might not do that all the time if you're a Protestant. But it worked with me. I did it. And there you go. God! Mm-hmm. Wow, you powerful little thing floating around. I invoke the name of Jesus and you're running. Get back down where you belong.
Yeah.
You're hanging up there. That makes it believe you come from above, but you come from below. They can travel throughout the whole universe even. If we can send a probe to Mars or something, you better believe the devil's on Mars too.
Yeah.
He can extend to the exterior parts of this universe, but he cannot go outside this universe. God's heaven is outside this whole universe. If God ever allowed mankind to reach the end of this universe, which he never has, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you're going to reach a barrier in which we're encased in a ball of water. Then you'd have to travel through that water to get out of that water, and now you're in the heaven of gods. It's a long story. I wrote about it on the creation thing, which is the faithful Jews always believe that, but I wrote about it. So the devil is controlling. This is what they call where God will come down, and when he was Job, and he was talking to Satan. Satan said to God, "Hey, look at Job, your faithful servant. You know, he's going around. He says, let me attack him and see if he still blesses you." Well, that conversation took place in the universe, not in heaven. The devil can never go back to heaven. He was cast out of heaven forever, God's heaven. So that conversation most likely took place in the outer space, in the universe. That's where that conversation is taking place.
And then when Lazarus, remember, you said, Go talk to my parents. Oh, there's a great chaos that we can't pass. You know.
Well, that chaos was hell, and Abraham's bosom, which was the highest level of hell.
Yeah.
So he's talking about Gehenna and Abraham's bosom. Mm-hmm. That's what he was talking about.
Right.
That's not the heavens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's in the center of the earth.
Yeah.
So that's another issue. But the it's got goodwill, and they really love the truth, and they're humble, they'll be saved, all 10 of them. Listen about it. I mean, look at the Bible. How many times God tells us to help you? And by us living in this world, we can see it. When we show them the evidence of 9/11 and the Holocaust, and they still don't listen, well, you're not worthy. I'm not going to talk to you about the faith. John 3:12. If you do not believe earthly things, how will you believe when I tell you heavenly things? So if you look at the evidence, and we did show you the Holocaust of 9/11 did not go down by the planes, it was demo charge, and you don't believe that, I don't talk to you about the faith. Until you stop lying and accept the things you could see. Because you're talking to a liar. And most men in this world are liars. and they love to be lied to. Hitler said that about the Jews even. The Persians didn't like lying either, the Iranians. But Hitler, he said, when Jews tell lies, they don't tell small ones, they tell big ones. He says, most people, they tell small lies, but they never believe anyone's going to really tell such a big lie, so they fall for it. But you're looking, they're lying to you right in front of your face now, and they know you know it.
Yeah.
And they want, it's like the movie 1984,
yeah,
when the guy would say, how many fingers do I have up? Mm-hmm. And the guy said four, and they kept torturing him. Say five. Then all of a sudden he's torturing, he goes, okay, five. He goes, you don't mean it. You don't mean it. You're just saying this so I don't torture you. He's torturing more. I see five. No, I think you're just lying. I think you still see four. I'm going to do it till you really see five. So he keeps torturing him. He goes, okay, and he, five. And maybe he then begins to see. He's so convinced he's seeing five. Four becomes five. It's the world we're living in.
Do you know why you're here? Shall I tell you why we brought you here? To cure you. To make you sane.
Yes.
That was 40. You can see that the numbers on this dial run up to 100. Will you please remember that during our conversation, I have it in my power to inflict pain on you at any time. And in whatever degree I choose.
Yes.
You know perfectly well what is the matter with you, Winston. You've known it for years, though you've fought against the knowledge. You are mentally deranged. You suffer from a defective memory. You've never tried to cure yourself of it because you did not choose to. It was a small effort of will which you were not ready to make. Another example, a serious delusion. Photographs about which you've had hallucinations, which you believed you held in your hand. They never existed. Say what you're about to say, Winston.
In memory. I remember. You remember.
I do not remember. Only the disciplined mind can see reality, Winston. It needs an act of self-destruction. An effort of the will. Do you remember writing in your diary, freedom is the freedom to say 2 + 2 = 4? How many fingers am I holding up, Winston?
Four.
And if the party says there are not four, but five, then how many?
Five.
No. That's no use. You're lying. How many fingers, please?
What else can I say? Five, four, anything you like. Only please stop me. Stop the pain. How can I help it? How can I help what I see under my eyes? 2 and 2 = 4.
Sometimes, Winston. Sometimes they're five, sometimes they're three, sometimes they're all of them at once. Neither the past, nor the present, nor the future exists in its own right, Winston. Reality is in the human mind, not in the individual mind, which makes mistakes and soon perishes. But in the mind of the party, which is collective and immortal. Again?
No.
How many fingers, Winston?
Four. I suppose there are four. I tried to see five. I wish I could.
Which do you wish? To persuade me that you can see five, or really to see them?
Really to see them.
Again. How many, Winston?
So I don't go any, what is that? What time is it?
Just over noon.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, what power could there possibly be that's on earth, besides God, that has the power the Jews have to get their way
the devil.
About anything? That's right. You can't even say the word Jew.
No, that's why I told you the story about I was attacked literally, physically, and in my dreams by devils mostly telling me, lay off the Jews. Lay off the Jews. Hitting me, pushing me across the room, coming to my dreams. Stay off the Jews and John Paul too. But the Jew was the big one. Don't talk about it. I just got angrier. I just said, oh, you dirty bastard. I'm going to go out 10 times tomorrow. God, do it again. Hit me again. Now, I told you back then, I said, I know you can kill me, but I'm going to keep doing this. But that wasn't true because he can't kill me unless God allows him. And there was one night where I almost did die. It's a long story. But God didn't let it happen. God prevented it. So, you know, God, if he's, that's why I talk about that one guy in the financial system. If God sees you standing up against these people, he's not going to let you die. He's going to let you live long enough maybe to give you a chance to convert. Now, he'll give you a certain time if you're not listening. Then eventually he'll let you die and send you to hell. But if God's predestined mind, he knows if you're good or bad before the world was even created. So he's not going to let any good-willed person die without coming into the true Catholic Church and getting sanctified and dying that way. That's why we say anybody dies outside the Catholic Church, God's telling you they're evil. That's the end of it. Babies, infants, pagans on an island. God looked at baby Judas and he said, that guy's evil. I knew it before I created him. He's an evil bastard. And he was a little baby. Most of you, oh, look at that cute little Judas. He's a nice little baby. A faithful Jew in the Old Testament, which were the faithful Jews, true Judaism, and us true Catholics now, the New Covenant, which is the only covenant, us Catholics, when we look at babies, we don't look at them as innocent. No. First of all, they're born in original sin, sons of the devil, and we got to baptize them to the church. And then even after we baptize them, we got to keep a watch on them, because the devil's always messing with them. And you look at his behavior. It's not for you to question who God sends to hell or heaven.
Yeah.
He looks at the baby and he sees the adult and what they're going to do. He looked at the pagan on it. Why did he put the pagan on an island? We had no chance to hear the word of God. He could have created him in Europe. He could have had him be born in a Catholic Europe in a mother's womb. But he'll let him be born in a pagan Indian in the island. That's the end of it. And my thing is, too, I always give this example. If you had just, I always say this, if you had one person in Catholic Europe for the history of Christianity in Catholic Europe that went to hell, just one person, then it's definite that every pagan on the island went to hell. Because that one person in that Europe, Catholic, who went back, he could have taken him, put him into the pagan mother's womb, and if they're so good pagan, take him and put him over in the Europe. You see what I'm saying? You don't question God. He sends babies to hell. He kills babies. These pagans that are on the island, why do you think he left them there for so long? In his predestined mind, he knows they're not good. How dare you question God's justice? One thing you can know for sure, that most mankind is evil. Every person that people, you know, like I say, Judas, or even some of these other people that they know maybe they're evil or something, they're a mass murderer and a rape artist, he was a baby one time. But God saw him as the adult. You don't see it. As a matter of fact, God, all things are known to the Lord God before they were created. Yeah. Ecclesiasticus 37, 39, or 29, 39, 49, 59. It's one of those verses in the summer. All things are known to the Lord God before they were created. Another one is like, about how he places things, you know. Anyway, You can read my book on the Salvation Dogma and other topics on the chapter on predestination. Go ahead. Yeah. All right. Any questions? Go ahead.
Just going to add to that. These people who want to save the pagan on the island. I mean, it's the only way you can know how to get to heaven is through the Catholic Church and infallible magistery and through a hierarchy. Without that, and you're trying to save these people on pagan islands, the only logical conclusion is everybody can be saved, therefore none of us can possibly know how to get to heaven.
That's right.
And that's their version of the logic. You can't know if you're in the state of grace or not.
That's where we are today. They got everybody saved today. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah, I like one of the saints said a good thing too. He goes, oh, you always talk about the pagan on the island. Look, he never heard the word. It's not his fault. And St. Augustine said this. It was great. And he said, look how many people we preach the gospel to. Look at us now.
Yeah.
Look at Diamond Brothers, CMRI, SSP10, SSP5, nominal Catholics. Look at all the people we're preaching to. Mm-hmm. Nobody listens.
Yeah.
He said, Augustine said that. He said, look how many people have the faith.
Yeah.
How many people we give it to and they don't accept it. So you're saying they're going to accept it by default when almost everybody in Europe is getting, and the ones who do accept it, most of them go to hell.
Yeah.
Most members of the church don't even end up saving their souls because they go into mortal sin or something, or they fall out of the church. Go ahead.
And then when you send missionaries over there, they eat you, they marry you.
Yeah, they go, what is that? Yeah, they eat you. That's watch out. That's what they tell you when you go. Watch out, they're going to eat you. So when you go over there, you gotta go with some conquistadors, you know?
Yeah.
You go, because they're going to eat you. Unless God's going to give you like St. Patrick and Moses, he strikes them down. We're going to eat you.
Yeah.
Remember the last brother who went over there? They were boiling him up in a big kettle.
Yeah.
We tried to get his bones at least, you know. He's going to have his bones at least. Okay. So we can bury him reverently. And he says, no, I want to keep the bone. I'm going to put it in my nose.
Yeah. Yeah, he's saved.
Yeah, the good Indians.
Yeah.
That movie Cortez is good, too.
Yeah,
it was.
On that. The innocent Indians. We came over and ruined everything for them. Big chief in the feather. What do they call him? Big feather sky man, or whatever he is. Big party man, a big Indian. We got a lot of Indians around. We got a problem over here. You'd be messing with me, boy. Either I die or you die. We ain't going to walk out of the same room alive together. If you guys are going to really come at me, something's going to happen. I die as a martyr, or God's going to strike you all down. I don't care. They love the Indian. They idolize the Indian now. Like when we came over here, they were so close to nature. You know, all this kind of, a mission movie shows that.
Yeah.
It's a true movie. We got to edit. It needs a lot of editing, but we call it a bad good movie because it shows you these liberation theologists.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually saying it. We should have never came over here. They were living so close to nature.
Look at the school curriculum. They want to push the Indian crap.
Oh, that's what they're pushing in the school curriculum.
Yeah.
Indian crap. Yeah. Really, with CRT, they're attacking Christianity and white people because white people were the most of the races where Christianity was. And Spain is included in that. So that's where Christianity was. The home of Christianity was mostly taken up by white people.
Yeah.
And Jews are white people.
Yeah.
You read the Old Testament, David, Jesus, white. I went over that in my book about it. I'm not being prejudiced against other people, but he is what he is.
And
it doesn't mean other races are evil or anything, but that's what he was.
Think about the slavery issue, too. How would you control these people? They're savages.
Slavery's ordained, justified slavery is ordained by God.
Yeah.
And the natural law tells you that. You can have an unjustified slavery, I agree. But slavery by itself is not intrinsically evil.
Right.
The natural law can tell you this.
Yeah.
If people are behaving so bad, you got two choices. I'm either going to kill them or enslave them.
Yeah.
If you enslave them, you're doing them a favor because you're not killing them.
Yeah.
So you're going to enslave them and you're going to try to civilize them by slavery.
Yeah.
So slavery is a something God uses to punish people like corporal punish, like the rod.
Mm-hmm.
Look, again, you know that by reading the Old Testament when he sent his own chosen people into the Babylonian captivity.
Yeah.
And he sent them into Assyria and Egypt. So that's another thing we're up against. They idolize.
Yeah.
No one should be a slave.
Yeah.
Even St. Paul said, you're promising liberty. Go ahead.
The whole chapter, Philemon, in the New Testament, Philemon, I think, it's all about a runaway slave, and St. Paul is telling him to go back to his Christian ruler.
Yeah, exactly. And we had one person leave here. He didn't accept the whole slavery thing.
Yeah,
he was a wimp. a non-judgmental, non-punishmental wimp. And he didn't believe that, that you should slaves, when you have slaves, you should separate the kids from their parents. I said, well, what? Okay. So, a lot of times they kill them all, right? That's all. David, men, women, and children kill them all. I mean, how many times God has Moses killed children? Read the Bible. Moses killed infants by the command of God. That was justified killing. Unjustified killing events is what? Pharaoh, when he killed the Jews in Egypt. And Moses survived. That was unjustified killing of infants. But when God ordains that people die, you kill them. When God says kill, you kill.
You're in a kid a favor.
Not for you to question.
Imagine if you take a little black kid, a little baby, away from their pagan
parents. So, we got a lot of mush meats today. Yeah. Non-judgmental, non-punishmental. As I tell you people, one of the pillars is reading the Bible. Read my Bible schedule on the way of giving it to you, and they'll knock the sappiness out of you. Especially when you read the prophets and you read the Old Testament history, and even the New Testament has death penalty in there. You got to just read it. Malachi 3:6. I am God, and I change not. And we have 1 Thessalonians 13:9. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever.
No,
Hebrews 13:8. No. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Be not led astray by various and strange doctrines. God's the same God as the Old Testament's God. There's not two different gods going on here. We got a good God and a bad God. The Old Testament God was the bad God. The new one's the good God. It's the same God. So we end up, this is what God wanted me to speak about today. So next week, maybe we'll do the thing on routine. The thing on routine, I was going to talk about ideas of discipline, order, moderation, diligence, physical exercises, recreation, and frugality. So I'll do that next week. So, any questions? Sometimes a brother knows when he asks a question, I can be here for another hour. I always end by 1 o'clock. That's my rule here. We're done no later than by 1 o'clock, which gives us 45 minutes left for mass prayers and hymns. Sometimes we go a little over, but I never like to do that. I don't like to steal people's time. That's also a sin when you steal time. When people show up late all the time, they don't show up on time, you're stealing people's time. When you go over habitually the time you were supposed, that's stealing people's time. It's a brutal thing too. That one Stuttgart, the city of Contis, heretic bastard bishop.
Yeah.
He used to show up. How late, Phil, did he used to show up for mass? An hour sometimes.
Hours.
So he said mass is scheduled for 10. He won't show up to 12, and the people are sitting in the church till 12. What normal people sit that long waiting for the guy?
Yeah.
First of all, he does it maybe once. If something happened, he does it all the time. The guy's a kook.
Yeah.
That's, I'm out of here. The guy's a nut. You got to sit there waiting for this guy 2 hours. I mean, as pleasure. All right, so let's see. So that's the end of the lecture for today. Okay, you can stop that and we'll go into the mass prayer.